Chapter 4. The Apprenticeship. One day, many months later, when business was slow, I asked Joe if I could have an afternoon off to visit Miss Havisham and thank her for her help, though of course I just wanted to see Estella. Joe said yes, but he warned me not to ask Miss Havisham for anything when I went. Joe had a blacksmith named Orlick who worked for him, a big, mean man who had never liked me, and he heard our conversation and demanded an afternoon off himself. Joe agreed, but my sister, who had been spying by the window, she often did, overheard Orlick's demand.
"You fool! Giving time off to that lazy man!" my sister yelled at Joe. "I wish I was his boss."
"You wish you were everyone's boss," said Orlick. "You're a disgusting old woman."
At this, my sister went crazy. Joe had to hold her back as she and Orlick yelled at each other. Then, to protect my sister's honor, Joe had to fight Orlick. Since Joe was the strongest man in town, Orlick was soon lying on the ground. Satisfied, my sister went back to the house, and I went to get dressed for my afternoon. On my way out, I saw Joe drinking beer with Orlick, and both seemed content enough. I wasn't content, though, when I arrived at Miss Havisham's house. I was let in by one of her relatives, not Estella. When I was talking with Miss Havisham, I kept glancing toward the door.
"Ah," she said, "you came to see Estella. Well, she's gone abroad to study. Do you feel you've lost her?"
She laughed and then she dismissed me. I was miserable. On my way home, I ran into Wopsle and then Orlick. We all walked back to the village together.
"I've been in town all day," said Orlick, "but I heard the guns fired. Must be an escaped convict."
As we were passing the village bar, the owner came out.
"Pip, there's been trouble," he said. "You'd better run home."
I ran home as fast as I could. I found out my sister had been attacked and hit violently on the back of the head while Joe was out. Though I suspected Orlick, the police confirmed he had been seen in town all afternoon, and they had no leads on who had attacked my sister. She was sick for a long time, and since Wopsle's great aunt had recently died, Biddy came to live with us and look after her. My sister recovered, but she could never properly speak again. She would mostly draw simple pictures to say what she wanted. As the months went by, Biddy and I grew closer, taking long walks and talking together. I began to notice that she was becoming a woman, and Orlick noticed this too, often hanging around the kitchen door and talking with her. I warned her to be careful of him. Then, one day on one of our walks, I opened up and told Biddy everything about Estella's calling me common and my dream of becoming a gentleman to win her heart.
"Oh, Pip, that wasn't nice of her," Biddy said. "Do you think that would really make you happy? She doesn't sound worth your love."
"I'd be good enough for you, wouldn't I, Biddy?"
"Yes," she said. "I'm quite simple in what I want."
I knew Biddy was so much better than Estella, and it was Biddy I should be in love with. But still, we both knew we would always just be friends.
"Be careful, Pip. Becoming a gentleman could change you."
"Biddy," I replied, "I promise you it won't. We'll always be good friends, you, Joe, and me." I was sure of what I said. Though I continued to work hard with Joe, I also continued to dream Miss Havisham might one day make me a gentleman. One night, about 4 years into my apprenticeship, Joe and I were at the bar. Some men were talking about a trial and how violent the accused murderer was. Then a stranger spoke up, a gentleman, judging by his clothes.
"How can you men declare someone guilty?" he asked in a powerful voice. "Without giving him a chance to a fair trial? Where are your morals?"
There was a long silence. Finally, someone changed the conversation and the crowd returned to talking. Approaching Joe and me then, the stranger asked,
"Are you Gargery, the blacksmith, And his apprentice, Pip?
Joe said we were. I recognized the stranger immediately as the man I had met years ago at Miss Havisham's, the man with the hands that smelled of scented soap. He asked to speak with us privately, introducing himself as Mr. Jaggers, a lawyer from London. "I'd been hired to conduct some unusual business with you," he said. "First, I must ask if you'd be prepared to cancel Pip's apprenticeship and if you'd want any money for doing so."
"Of course not," said Joe. "I'd never ask for money for not standing in Pip's way."
"Remember you said that," Jaggers said. "You see, I'm here to inform Pip that he'll be a very wealthy man."
Joe and I gasped, looking at each other.
"In addition, he must move to London immediately, where he'll be educated as a gentleman. In a word, as a young man of great expectations."
My dream of Miss Havisham making me a rich, educated gentleman had become reality.
"Now, Mr. Pip," Jaggers continued, "there are two conditions you must accept. First, you must always use the name Pip. Second, the name of your benefactor must remain a secret. This means you can't try to find out who your benefactor is. Do you understand?"
My heart was beating fast as I said I did. Jaggers went on to explain that he was now my guardian, and that he had arranged for my education with a teacher named Matthew Pocket. I immediately recognized the name of Miss Havisham's relative.
"You know the name?"
said Mr. Jaggers, looking at me closely. I said I did. He then gave me £20 to buy new clothes. Then, as he stood to leave, he asked me to come to London the following Saturday. When Joe and I got home, we shared the news with Biddy. She and Joe congratulated me, but I could see that they were sad because they would miss me. Then, as they seemed to cheerfully get used to the idea, I found myself growing sad, though I did not really understand why. Oh, dear good Joe, whom I was so ready to leave and so ungrateful to! Biddy promised to take good care of him, but when I asked her if she would help him learn better manners, she reminded me of my own promise and said, "Good friends accept each other as they are." I was annoyed by her response, but I decided to keep quiet. When Friday came, there was one more person I wanted to say goodbye to, Miss Havisham. One of her relatives let me in and, following Miss Havisham's orders, stayed while we talked.
"I've come into such good fortune since I last saw you, Miss Havisham," I said. "I am so grateful for it."
"Yes, I heard the news from Mr. Jaggers, Pip. Some mystery rich person has adopted you," she said, looking at her jealous relative with delight.
"Yes, Miss Havisham."
"Well," she said, "be good and listen to Mr. Jaggers. You'll always keep the name of Pip, yes?"
"Yes, Miss Havisham."
I kissed her hand when I left that dark, empty house, thinking of her as my fairy godmother. I slept badly that night, and the next morning left in a hurry without saying goodbye properly. As I walked to catch the coach to London, I found myself crying, aware of my ungratefulness. Then, on the coach, I wanted to turn back for a proper goodbye, but instead, I just looked out the window. The mists had all risen now, and the world lay spread before me.